That part of the week again, but it's the good part because it's the part of Monday where we talk Major League Soccer. MLS Monday is back as always. For this, we're joined by the Major League Soccer expert, Drew Farmer. Drew, good afternoon.
Hey, Andy, always good to be back. And after 15 days away, the MLS Cup playoffs are about to resume with the semifinals of the MLS Cup playoffs.
Yeah, normally I say about MLS that I'm almost wondering why it doesn't quite respect international breaks like other leagues. Then these games, Columbus and Toronto and Houston and Seattle, I have been desperate for them to play. And this was when Major League Soccer decided to kind of slow everything down and say, hey guys, 2 weeks off.
Yeah, absolutely, Andy. I think they've done a real poor job of scheduling here and they've taken off 15 days. And, you know, if you look at the upcoming playoff schedule, they're going to be playing midweek fixtures as well to, I guess, not clash with NFL games going on in the USA right now. And then, you know, once we have the conclusion of the MLS Cup semifinals, well, we're going to have another little bit of a delay, December 9th when the final kicks off. But, you know, we're finally getting some action again after that little bit of a lull.
I noticed about the midweek games. To me, that doesn't make a vast amount of sense. And I know what you're saying, they don't want to clash with the NFL. And I get that in America there are several sports, all of which run different calendars. But I would have thought the NFL's the one you want to clash with the least. So why run your season this way? Why not run it in a more European way of, you know, it starts in August and ends in May? Because my knowledge of North American climate, yeah, you'd be playing through winter, but have a winter break like a German league if you want, or a European league, and then just you're not in danger of clashing then.
Well, I think climate does play a big part with that for the more northern teams, Minnesota, Montreal, Toronto. And, you know, if you look at some of the people who will be running for United States Soccer Federation president in the upcoming elections, Eric Winalda, for one, they're interested in changing the format of the league, moving it to an autumn to spring fixture list. But, you know, it is what it is this year. And, you know, as I said, they're not trying to clash with the NFL, but, you know, I think what they're going to end up doing is losing those fans who could either go to live games or watch on TV that either, A, have something else to do in the middle of the week, or, you know, they might have children and get up for work the next day. So I think they may be in a you know, lose-lose situation no matter when they put it on. But, you know, perhaps the weekend would have been the better option in the end.
I always knew I liked Eric Winalda. To the games.
You're one person.
To the games, Drew. How are you seeing it going between Columbus and Toronto and Houston and Seattle? Just what are your gut feelings with it?
Well, Columbus and Toronto will be kicking off tomorrow on the 21st. And, you know, Toronto will be going into this game without their two highest scoring players, Sebastian Giovinco and Jozy Altidore will be serving one match suspensions. So they're going to be going into this game a little bit light-handed there. And, you know, Columbus proved in the last round that at home, they're not too bad. They defeated New York City FC 4-1 in the first leg of that game, in the first leg of that series, and were able to go on and win that two-leg series, even though they didn't put up too much of a, too good of a fight against New York City in New York. So I think Toronto are definitely the better team, but with Columbus having that bit of an advantage at home and without Toronto having Sebastian Giovinco and Jozy Altidore, I think that Columbus can come out of this one with a bit of a win here. And then Toronto's going to have a lot to do in that second leg. In terms of the other conference final, Seattle and Houston, I think this one is a little bit more evenly matched. Seattle does have the better players, the better individual players, Clint Dempsey and Nicholas Ladero. They've played in some big matches before, but Houston's a very scrappy team, and they were able to beat Caleb Porter's Portland Timbers in that last round. And I think that if they come away with a 0-0 game in Houston on Tuesday night, that is, I think that Houston will be very happy to be able to go to Seattle and try to nick a goal in the Northwest.
Yes, that's how the playoff situation's looking. You mentioned as well about the fact that it was Dallas who got past Portland Timbers. Since then, we've seen coach Caleb Porter go. Now, to those who are over here, they may not be overly familiar with him as a name, but he's a 42-year-old. He's been there for a long time. He's actually somebody who has helped take Portland Timbers from a team who were they were newish to the league. They certainly weren't established as one of the bigger names, but he's actually got them to the absolute pinnacle. He's got them to be the number one team in Major League Soccer a couple of years ago, and still to this day they were up there. They got a decent squad. He leaves though, and it just seems a bit of an odd one. This.
Yeah, you know, he left everybody really shocked to just walk away from the team here at the end of the regular season or at the end of the playoffs. Yes, they were defeated by Houston in the conference semifinals, and you know it wasn't really the ending that he'd hoped for after the team finished in first place in the Western Conference. And you know, I think there's a lot of, I guess you could say, conspiracy theory that's been kind of drawn into this of why he might have left. But one of the real reasons that a lot of people are saying is he wants a new challenge. He's looking for something else and a new team to really coach. He didn't have a lot of say in the squad that was being assembled there in Portland. They relied heavily on a general manager or sporting director there in Portland, and his job was mainly to coach on the field. So, you know, there's a good chance that he's looking for a position in which he's going to get to have that full control of the team. Keep in mind, he wasn't the first coach there with Portland when they entered MLS play a few years ago, and there were still some holdover coaches that the club had held on to from the John Spencer reign before that, and I think he's been wanting for a long time to have his own staff, and it wasn't really something that the hierarchy there at Portland were really wanting to have. So I think those kinds of things have kind of, you know, all kind of built up there. And as you said, he was at the very top of his game. They won the 2015 MLS Cup playoffs, or sorry, the MLS Cup in 2015. And, you know, unfortunately for Porter, there wasn't a lot of consistency from year to year, really, with Portland. They missed the playoffs in 2 years of his five that he was there. And, you know, some links have tied him to the possible position at Cincinnati, although those have been rubbished by local journalists there. But, you know, I think that there's going to be a team that lands him, and I think it's it could be a really good thing for them. But if you look at some of the coaches who have tried to go from being a successful franchise, such as Jason Kreis, he had a lot of success there in Real Salt Lake. He went to New York City FC, now at Orlando, and, you know, things haven't really worked out for him, so Porter's got a lot to prove that he can go somewhere else and have that kind of same success he did in Portland.
Do you think that to show he can have similar success, he needs to stay in MLS or in North America, or do you feel he might want to expand out a little bit?
But, you know, with the job that Bob Bradley did last year at Swansea, I don't know if there's going to be too many teams, you know, clamoring for him to come abroad and coach over here in Europe. But, you know, it'd be great to see another American coach go abroad and coach. But, you know, there's also the possibility of the U.S. national team. He's been linked to that previously. There's no permanent coach set there right now, so there's always the chance that he's got his eyes set on that national team job. So that is a possibility.
I know as well we're coming to the point where MLS is going to be talking about franchises and who might be the next team in, and I know that it's been flagged up that Caleb Porter might actually have connections with any kind of Cincinnati bid.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Cincinnati FC is one of the leading franchises to get the next MLS expansion. The next set of MLS expansions, which is two places in the league, will be announced in December between the 18th and the 20th. So someone's going to have a really good Christmas, while a few other cities are going to have a bit of a poor one. There are 12 cities in the running, Andy, but really only three are being highlighted as nailed on to pop this position, and that comes down to FC Cincinnati, as you previously mentioned, and we've talked about before. Sacramento Republic is another one, and Nashville, who has kind of come out of nowhere in the last summer, over the summer and into the autumn, and really become a team that people are really focusing on. And, you know, you and I have both thought in the past and talked about how we think Cincinnati is really deserving of a team. They've really got great support there, and they've really shown that they're a soccer city, if you will. They've already sold 10,000 season tickets for next season, and this is a second division club. A lot of good things going on there, but as we said, there were some links between possibly Porter moving back to Ohio, where he used to coach at the University of Akron. He had a great program there, produced a lot of high-quality MLS players there, and you know, there's that conspiracy theory, if you will, that he may be going back to Cincinnati or going back to Ohio and to live a little bit closer to home and to coach there. But, you know, we don't know if that's necessarily going to happen. It's been kind of rubbished in the media. But what we do know is Cincinnati is one of the leading candidates for one of these positions that's going to come up in December.
One thing that does seem to be a case, though, is that the league seems to want teams to have a soccer-specific stadium, something built, and it slightly feels for me as though the front-runners become those who have a local council or local authority or whatever the Americanized name will be to that, who are effectively going to say either, yes, here's the land, or here's the land and here's a big subsidy to build it. And my understanding is that Cincinnati don't have that.
Yeah, well, they don't exactly have that. You're right. There's the idea that they might play at the NFL stadium there, Paul Brown Stadium, which is also played at by the Cincinnati Bengals. There's a possibility that there could be a privately funded $200 million stadium built there. But the owners of FC Cincinnati do want the city to put in some money to help provide some infrastructure for roads and some public transport to the area. That would cost the city about $75 million. So a lot of money going into this. To bring a team to the area. The problem is, I think that we've seen teams like Atlanta and Seattle who have also paired with NFL teams and had these great attendances at these amazing stadiums. And I think we've seen them be able to share stadiums. And it really begs the question, well, why can't some of these new teams that are showing a great passion for football and a great following, why can't they also do the same thing? And, it's an unfortunate thing that some of these possible franchises are kind of being held at ransom, or these cities are being held at ransom to have a MLS just to be able to afford a stadium.
Yeah, it does feel a bit like that, but we'll keep an eye on what the league does in terms of its next teams. Just quickly, I did want to mention if FC Beckham United, they are talked about as one of these possible franchises, and I saw a rumor this week that were FC Beckham Miami United, whatever they're called, were to come in, he wants Steve Bruce as manager. I'm not entirely sure whether Steve Bruce would want to go to MLS. I mean, just quickly, what's your take on that, Drew?
Why not go down to South Florida? It'd be nice down there most of the year. And, the two have a lot of connections, I guess, from their time at Manchester United. But, I haven't seen a lot of substantial information in the reports I've seen today between this link. But, Bruce wouldn't be a too bad of a manager. I think that his experience would be really good. As we've talked about managers in MLS before, a lot of the newer managers are just ex-MLS players without any coaching experience and, limited playing experience. They've only played in MLS, so what he's done here in the UK would I think translate well there. In terms of Miami, we talk about the expansion franchises. There are 22 teams currently in MLS. Next season we'll see a 23rd team, and once those next two expansion franchises are announced, so I guess we'll see 25 teams. So an odd number of teams. It's almost like MLS is just holding off that Miami expansion to be that final even number team. They're not really saying anything. They're just kind of holding it in reserve until they're ready to come. So, today there is really nothing on Miami in any time being ready to play yet.
Yeah, that is true. Well, if anything happens with that or anything else in MLS, we will, of course, chat about it on MLS Monday. We will be back as well next week when we'll be at the midway point between the conference finals, so plenty for us to talk about then. We'll, of course, be bringing you all the other news as well from the league. For this time, though, Drew Farmer, thank you for joining me for MLS Monday.
Thank you, Andy, and I'll look forward to speaking to you next week.